This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Benjamin Price is a journalist at The Age, and he writes a lot and fairly exclusively about state politics. Good morning, Benjamin. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Look, we wanted to talk about a couple of things quickly. One is, you know, the bid by Robert Clark to become president of the Victorian Liberal Party to replace Michael Kroger. Robert obviously thinks it's next year isn't 2019, it's 1920, because some of his beliefs, which, and The Age has written about these before, where he, what was it, Tass, he compared being gay to having spina bifida?
He said, yes, being homosexual is like having any other condition like spina bifida.
Yeah. Now, the people who are running Robert's campaign, politics does make strange bedfellows, and this is an image I can't get out of my mind. Kelly O'Dwyer and Bernie Finn are running Robert Clark's campaign to become president. Now, you know Bernie Finn pretty well, Benjamin. Interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, well, like so many things in politics, particularly things factional, there's a logic going on that might be not clear to the outside observers. You know, there are kind of political motivations and reasons for doing things that don't always make sense to the outsider, and sometimes they probably just don't even make any sense at all. So now I understand that the forces aligned with Michael Kroger's faction are opposed to Robert Clark's bid to become president. And that's also another kind of interesting situation, because I think in the past couple of years there's been a kind of conservative sort of grouping around that faction. So there's some, yeah, I think there are certainly some strange things going on here. And Robert Clark's backers are broader than Bernie Finn or Kelly O'Dwyer. So, I mean, their names haven't really come up to a huge extent in terms of the calls I've been making to kind of work out who's backing Robert Clark, although I have heard that, you know, that Bernie Finn is among them. But yeah, we've got a kind of a bit of an odd situation unfolding here, I think you could say.
Do you think, for our community, for this radio station's community, on some of the policies that Robert has espoused over the years and supported, I don't think we could although he did support one of the expungement bills of old gay sex, public sex convictions, but he's not a friend of our community, and I would have thought that the Liberal Party, that with all the noise about gender and all the news about let's get back to the centre, which Michael O'Brien talked about during the week when he was elected opposition leader. Why would you appoint someone who's been a strong, vocal, committed conservative for 30 years and who lost his seat in a state election less than a couple of weeks ago? I mean, it says that they're actually not interested in having, you know, a female president, or some more diversity, or even moving back to the centre?
Well, this is a really good question. And I did put this to one of my contacts not all that long ago. And I think one of the arguments in favour of Robert Doyle, particularly those who probably come from a bit more of a moderate sort of perspective, is that they think that he would not have a great deal of influence over the policy direction of where the Liberal Party goes. What they want is more stability in terms of having somebody who can just kind of stabilise the party. Someone who's a, like Robert Clark is a real kind of stickler for process.
Oh, he loves it.
I think that's the argument they mount in terms of backing Robert Clark.
But it's a case of back to the future, isn't it?
But hang on, Tess. It's a case of if you ask people for their support to make you president of the party, and those people then think that you're not going to have any input to policy, right? Well, look at all those appointments in the past in the Liberal Party and the Labor Party, you are beholden to those people. And, you know, for them to say, oh, well, look, Michael Clark, you know, he's not going to have much involvement. That's, you know, when Michael Kroger used to say on this show that he didn't have any power. I don't have any power, Macca. I'm just a stamp licker. Like, you know, it's not true.
Well, yes, I think there's certainly some merit in what you say. And, I mean, you know, to be clear, I mean, that's not my position. This is just one of the arguments
that's kind of being put forward.
But I think that, I mean, obviously the president would not stand idly by while the party is moving in a direction in which he or she was unhappy. I mean, that seems unimaginable, doesn't it?
It does.
I think that it would be interesting to see if Robert Clark's views have changed at all. Has he evolved? I guess he has made some kind of pretty offensive comments in the past about homosexuality. I wonder if they're trying to if they would be trying to convey any kind of, you know, changing of position or any kind of, you know, evolution in terms of his views. I don't know. I think that's something that probably a bit more work needs to be put into. But it's certainly, you can see how, you know, Labor could potentially use this as a weapon. It's like those comments with where the party is trying to position itself at the moment, it's just too jarring.
Well, and Michael O'Brien, leader. And David Davis is the leader in the council. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Michael has said, that he wants to move the party back to the centre, which isn't a position that he's occupied for a while. David Davis is probably a bit closer to the centre. Certainly Michael O'Brien is not in the same... I mean, certainly I can't see Bernie Finn campaigning for him. But,
yeah,
you know, we have a situation where if you had Robert Clark as the president, as you said, is he really going to stand by as the party moves to the centre, which is a place that Robert probably hasn't occupied since 1938?
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the alternative for them, based on the results of November 24, is electoral oblivion. And I think that that for anyone who thinks that their problem was that they didn't go far enough to the right, they're kidding themselves.
Yeah. All those doctors' wives in Hawthorne and Brighton and Caulfield and, you know, the other seats.
Well, John Fain refers to them as specs, you know, socially progressives but economically conservatives. And it seems to me that they've completely missed that group who've really been the backbone, but both financially and from a policy sense. But, Benjamin, I'm interested in where you think all this is going to land. I mean, it's just not looking good from what I can see.
Yeah, this is not going to resolve itself anytime soon. I think that that there's going to be a lot of infighting in the Liberal Party that will go on before they reach any kind of stability or stable kind of situation. Even even before the, they were absolutely blown away in this election, there was still so much infighting at the top of the party in terms of the actual, like, the party, the hierarchy, the structure, not the parliamentary party, right? So I'm just, but now that they've suffered such a damaging blow, I see this getting worse before it gets better for them.
Yes.
I think that they really do need to take stock of the fact that in my assessment is that people in general don't care about the culture wars. I feel like people are kind of too busy with their lives.
Yeah.
I think Victorians are much more tolerant than perhaps the Liberals gave them credit for. And people are just not up in arms about the safe injecting room or safe schools or anything like that. These things are just not, they're not potent weapons for the Liberal Party.
I think your analysis is quite right, Benjamin. I mean, I reflect on 1992 when Kerner lost the election and the Labor Party went into absolute disarray.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really till the subsequent election where they really started to regroup and then became a formidable opposition who actually started to enunciate some policies. We actually don't even have good policies at the moment from the opposition.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to get uglier before it gets better. I think you might be right about that.
Yeah. I think the opposition, what they need to do is they need to go into this next 4 years and treat it like it's an opportunity to really do the policy work, to really do the kind of in and under. I'm going to use some cliches here, but, you know, really like the kind of the heavy lifting stuff of holding a government to account. They need to, like, they need to be doing their FOIs. What's the government doing here? Where is the waste? Where can they say these projects are important, but we do them a lot better? I think that's something that they really need to get back to, and I think that they should just leave the kind of the stuff that they thought were really kind of controversial issues, which didn't even end up being issues. I think they should just say, no, we're all right with that. We're not worried about that.
Park.
Benjamin, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but we've actually loved your reflections this morning. We need to get you back in the studio for a longer conversation when you've got some time.
And people can read Benjamin's work,
of course,
online at The Age.
Of course.
Thanks again, Benjamin, for your insight there, and we do look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Thanks very much. I look forward to speaking to you too.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.